Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read together with me the title of today's sermon, which is Looking Forward to Judgment Day. Based in Luke 21, listen to these verses that Jesus said, "On that day there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And on the earth, dismay among nations, men fainting from fear of the things which are coming upon the world. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory. And when these things begin to take place, you lift up your heads because your redemption is coming near. Be on the guard so that day does not come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth." I encourage you especially today to open up your worship folder, find the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Are You Looking Forward to Judgment Day? You may remember the scene from a very intriguing and very creative movie after which were made sequels, of course. The name of the movie was called Terminator, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. And in this movie, quite at the beginning, he utters a line that becomes almost his theme for his entire movie career. The scene is of a darkened, quiet street and a police station. And into this police station marches a man with a leather jacket, sunglasses, and leather pants. He looks fierce. He looks mean. He looks menacing. And the desk sergeant says, "Can I help you, buddy?" And the man says not a word. And the desk sergeant says, "Buddy, can I help you?" And the man looks around and says those famous words, "I'll be back." How'd you like that, Arnold Schwarzenegger? Oh, well. Soon he comes back with a car crashing through the front of the police station. There's mayhem. There's destruction. They're screaming. There's fear because indeed he came back in mayhem and destruction. Sometimes when the Bible speaks of Jesus' return, his second coming, it speaks in terms of this scene from the Terminator. It'll be a time of mayhem and destruction and horror. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 21. "There'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. On the earth, dismay among the nations. Perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear. The expectations of the things which are coming upon the world. The powers of the heavens will be shaken." I hope you're listening this morning. The scripture says when judgment day comes and Jesus comes back, there will come with him mayhem and destruction. The judge of all mankind will return and no one will escape his judgment. Judgment comes because of our sin. Jesus says, "Be on the guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of this life, so that the day will not suddenly come upon you like a trap. For it will come upon all the people who are dwelling on the face of the earth." The trap spoken of as a trap used to catch and to destroy wild animals. The sin of mankind, my sin, your sin, brings God judgment and destruction like a sprung trap. Almighty God is angry with mankind's sin. Don't you forget it. In our world today, God has been tamed down so much. The message of the law and the scripture has been so watered down, people forget he is a holy and righteous God. God is angry because of our sin. This reminds me of probably the most famous sermon ever preached in the English language some 300 years ago on the east coast of the United States. It was preached by a man named Jonathan Edwards. The sermon was entitled, "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." It was from this sermon, for the first time, we get the phrase, "fire and brimstone," speaking of God's anger due to sin. Now, whether or not today's world takes sin seriously, God takes sin seriously, and so should we. Jesus tells us in Luke 21, "Be on alert at all times, praying you may have strength to escape all the things that will take place, so you can stand before the Son of Man. Look around us today, won't you? Sin is covered up, and sin is even renamed to make it less evil than it is. People don't want to talk about murder. They say, well, the termination of a pregnancy. It's not adultery, it's sexual freedom. It's no longer perversion, it's an alternate lifestyle. It's not turning our backs on God, it's being open-minded and inclusive and politically correct. And all the above is now being shoved down our throats and the throats of our children. But lest we simply point our fingers at others, you know what I'm going to say? One finger at some people or three back at ourselves. Let's look at the church. What about believers in the church? How about you and me? Is Christ's church a priority or simply a pastime? Is membership in God's church a commitment or a convenience when nothing else is going on? Are the treasures of our Christian faith, especially the treasure which is Jesus, being passed down to the next generation? Or are we following the lead of our godless neighbors all around us and keeping ourselves and kids so busy we don't have time to think of what's really lasting and important? And now I'm going to be very rude as a pastor and say, if you are dozing, now is the time to be awake. The scripture says, wake up, for the day is coming. The end of the world is upon us. My heart is broken by church members and former church members whose absence from worship and receiving God's word and sacrament clearly declares, in the battle for my soul, Jesus is taking a back seat. What's really important to me is all the things this world has to offer. And here we must all look into a mirror and take to heart what Jesus said. What does it profit a person to gain the whole world but lose their soul? Judgment Day is coming for all people, believers and unbelievers. Jesus tells us in Luke 21, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. On that day of judgment, God's awesome power will be seen by all. Now, if I ended the sermon right here and said amen, you should all say, string that preacher up. Kick him out of town. Have you no good news to tell us today? We can be thankful, my dear friends, that for Jesus' sake, the end of the world, Judgment Day, will not just be a scene from the Terminator. It'll be a blessed time for all those who have humbly put their faith in Christ the Savior. My friends, we can look forward to Judgment Day. Speaking of himself, Jesus says this also in Luke 21. Then they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds with great power and glory. Power we've talked about. What about glory? Time after time in Holy Scripture, glory is connected to God's love for his people. He will come in power. Lutherans would call that the law. But he also will come in glory, and we call that the gospel. God's glory is forgiveness for his people. God's glory is deliverance of his people. Jesus said these words in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he went to the cross. He said, Father, now glorify your Son. The glory speaks of here is the glory that God will show as Jesus dies upon the cross for the sins of the world, rises from the grave to give us everlasting life. This victory and redemption that Jesus won at the cross and empty tomb is the same victory he will give to all of us at Judgment Day who have put our faith in him. God's glory is the redemption of his people. Jesus tells us that Judgment Day will be a good day. He says in Luke 21 again, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption Your Redeemer is drawing near. We can lift up our heads with joy. We can do as my little dog Charm does when I come home. She just can't contain her joy. The one who loves her has come home. Everything will be good. When I return from home after a long day of work, you heard me tell the children, I ask our little dog Charm this question. I purposely draw it out and say, Charm, do you wanna? Do you wanna? Do you wanna? I'm getting her all revved up for the question. Do you wanna go outside for a walk? And then she explodes with joy, wags her tail, runs in circles with joy and anticipation. My dear friends, when our Lord Jesus comes back, it will be our turn, as Luke 21 says, to lift up our heads and look with joy and run in circles if we can. He has come back just as he promised. Our redemption has drawn near. Our Redeemer has drawn near. Jesus, our Redeemer, who died upon the cross for our sins, who rose from the grave in victory, has returned. He said he would come back. And he did. When I bought my very first automobile, I was so excited. I could barely contain my anticipation. It was a cherry red, two-door Chevy Nova with a manual transmission and a black interior. Oh, that car was great. I bought it late one night, but the paperwork still had to be completed. But the dealer, in his kindness, put this sign on the windshield in the car, parked in the car lot. It said, "This car belongs to Stephen." I had to wait a few days before I could pick it up. But guess what I did? I came back. Late the next night after the dealership was closed, I looked at the car, I touched it, I spoke to it, I caressed it. I dreamed of all the things I could do with it. This is before I met Beverly, and all the girls I could take for a drive. Oh, boy. And I said out loud to this 1968 cherry red two-door Chevy Nova, "I paid for you yesterday, but I'll be back for you tomorrow." This, in effect, is what Jesus Christ says to each of us. "I paid for you yesterday, but I'll be back for you tomorrow." Yesterday, at the cross, your sins were paid for. We were purchased for God. And tomorrow, at Judgment Day, he will return to take us to be with him, and we will be his forever. But another pastor tells another story about a car that he saw. One day he was driving home and he said, "I saw the ugliest car I ever saw in my life. That car," he said, "was ugly on top of ugly." He said, "If you looked up ugly in the dictionary, you'd find a picture of that car. It had a big gash on one side of the car. One of the doors was held together with baling wire. There were several rust spots on the car, and you could tell that car had been painted numerous times. You couldn't even tell what color was the original color." But the pastor said the most interesting thing about that car was a bumper sticker on the back of the car. The bumper sticker read, "This is not an abandoned car." A long time ago, a baby was born in a manger. He was the Savior of the entire world. He was a sign to us that this is not an abandoned world. We are not abandoned people. We have the promise of the forgiveness from our Lord and the promise that one day he will return to us and take us home. He will be back. You can count on it. And for God's people, on his day of return, that day will not just be a day of judgment and terror. It'll be a day of celebration. We can look forward to Judgment Day. In the name of Jesus. Amen.